distinct and disconnected. Naturally so, for I was at that time about 3 years old. But the day of his return to Arlington, after an absence of more than 2 years, I have always remembered. I had a frock or blouse of some light wash material, probably cotton, a blue ground dotted over with white diamond figures. Of this I was very proud, and wanted to wear it on this important occasion. Eliza, my mammy, objecting, we had a contest and I won. Clothed in this, my very best, and with my hair freshly curled in long golden ringlets, I went down into the large hall where the whole household was assembled, eagerly greeting my father, who had just arrived on horseback from Washington, having missed in some way the carriage which had been sent for him. There was visiting us at this time Mrs. Lippett, a friend of my mother's, with her little boy Armistead, about my age and size, also with long curls. Whether he wore as handsome a suit as mine, I cannot remember, but he and I were left together in the background, feeling rather frightened and awed. After a moment's greeting to those surrounding him, my father pushed through the crowd, exclaiming, "Where is my little boy?" He then took up in his arms and kissed, not me, his own child in his best frock with clean face and well-arranged curls, but my little playmate, Armistead. I remember nothing more of any circumstances connected with that time, save that I was shocked and humiliated. I have no doubt that he was at once informed of his mistake and made ample amends to me. A letter from my father to his brother, Captain S.S. Lee, United States Navy, dated Arlington, June 30, 1848, tells of his coming home. "Here I am once again, my dear Smith, perfectly surrounded by Mary and her precious children, who seem to devote themselves to staring at the furrows in my face and the white hairs in my head. It is not surprising that I am hardly recognizable to some of the young eyes around me and perfectly unknown to the youngest, but some of the older ones gaze with astonishment and wonder at me, and seem at a loss to reconcile what they see and what was pictured in their imaginations. I find them, too, much grown, and all well, and I have much cause for thankfulness and gratitude to that good God who has once more united us." My next recollection of my father is in Baltimore, where we were on a visit to his sister, Mrs. Marshall, the wife of Judge Marshall. I remember being down on the wharves where my father had taken me to see the landing of a Mustang pony which he had gotten for me in Mexico, and which had been shipped from Veracruz to Baltimore in a sailing vessel. I was all eyes for the pony, and a very miserable, sad-looking object he was. From his long voyage, cramped quarters, and unavoidable lack of grooming, he was rather a disappointment to me. But I soon got over all that. As I grew older and was able to ride and appreciate him, he became the joy and pride of my life. I was taught to ride him by Jim Connolly, the faithful Irish servant of my father who had been with him in Mexico. Jim used often to tell me, in his quizzical way, that he and Santa Anna, the pony's name, were the first men on the walls of Chapultepec. This pony was pure white, 5 years old, and about 14 hands high. For his inches, he was as good a horse as I have ever seen. While we lived in Baltimore, he and Grace Darling, my father's favorite mare, were members of our family. Grace Darling was a chestnut of fine size and of great power, which he had bought in Texas on his way out to Mexico, her owner having died on the march out. She was with him during the entire campaign and was shot 7 times, at least. As a little fellow, I used to brag about that number of bullets being in her, and since I could point out the scars of each one, I presume it was so. My father was very much attached to and proud of her, always petting her and talking to her in a loving way when he rode her or went to see her in her stall. Of her, he wrote on his return home, "I only arrived yesterday after a long journey up the Mississippi, which route I was induced to take for the better accommodation of my horse, as I wished to spare her much annoyance and fatigue as possible, she already having undergone so much suffering in my service. I landed her at Wheeling and left her to come over with Jim." Santa Anna was found lying cold and